Orange Music.
Presentation of the Fleming Foundation.
Next up is March Music.
Welcome again to the Fleming Foundation's podcast series, and we're going to do the series once again by popular demand. The fans are tearing down the walls, they're ripping through the fences. It's like Woodstock all over again. It is the birthday show. Yes. And it's March, of course. Now, February got skipped for one and only reason, and that's because my birthday's in February, and I didn't want the doctor prattling on ad nauseum about my character and how kind I am and charming, handsome, you know. So we skipped February just to let that slide away so we don't have to worry about
that. Let's be honest, Rex. We skipped February because we recorded the first 10 days, and you blew the recording. And so you said, oh, well, why don't you just do it again?
Okay, no more drinking and vaping and any other thing like that during podcasts. I guess that's the rule now. Is that what you're saying to me?
For you, yes.
Okay.
For me, I want a donation to come in from our many listeners because after my public appearance at the supermarket last week, and I was mobbed by elderly women ripping my clothes to shreds because I'd said something nice about some dead pop star.
Right.
So this celebrity business, it's gone way over the top.
Way over the top. So you want a donation for clothing or
right.
for alcohol?
I want a new leisure suit.
I love that old one. Maroon is so you. Well, Doctor, it is March, and this is the birthday show.
My first birthday, March 1st, is Sandro Botticelli. Mm. Sandro Botticelli is one of the greatest Renaissance painters. He's a Florentine. He painted roughly during the time of Lorenzo de' Medici, and there's a lot of overlap between Lorenzo's poetry. Lorenzo was, of course, the dictator of Florence, as well as being a poet and a playboy, and a great poet both in Latin and in Italian. We call him Politian. In Italian, he's Poliziano.
Ah.
In Latin, Politianos. A group of pals hanging around. They were also connected with the Platonic Academy of Florence, and they were deeply into mysticism and the occult. And it was a very strange time. Most of them had deathbed conversions back to Christianity. In the case of Botticelli, who painted some of the most beautiful sort of sensuous paintings, among the first modern painters to do female nudes, for example, obviously thought of as, this was inspired by Greek and Roman pagan art. During his last years, he had a conversion, and he painted mostly very ethereal pictures of the Blessed Virgin.
Nice.
That is Sandro Botticelli, and his paintings are everywhere. Of course, the famous painting of spring, Primavera, the painting people call Venus on the Half Shell, maybe a little bit sensuous, a little bit pagan, but in a kind of almost such a clean, austere way, it's hardly can be viewed as pornographic.
Another great artist who is born in March. Let me say a couple of phrases, because some artists like this guy, he owns certain phrases in the English language. There's no other person you would think of. Here we go. I do not like them, Sam I Am. I do not like green eggs and ham. Or Marvin K. Mooney, will you please leave now? Or even if you say, a cat in a hat. Who is it that you think of?
Ted Geisel, is that his name?
Geisel? No,
isn't that Ted Geisel?
It's Dr. Seuss.
Well, he had a real name.
You know? Oh, I thought that
you're always falling for these commercial made-up names. He did
Geisel?
Have a real name. I think so.
Geisel?
Or something like that. Don't ask me. I couldn't stand it when I was 8 years old.
Oh, I
And I've
loved
never
him.
Learned to never learned to like it.
My kids loved him, and someday I'm just going to do a certain podcast, and I will read to you, dear listeners, one of his classics. Wouldn't that be nice?
Right.
Here's another guy that was a total phony. Oh, incidentally, Dr. Seuss was born on the 2nd, 1904. This guy here, though, I want to get into very briefly. Total phony, but I bet you his name will ring a bell.
We call him Ring Ring.
Yes, it's Alexander Graham Bell, and he was born in 1847 on the 3rd.
You know what his real name was? Don Ameche.
Get out of here.
That's a joke, because Don Ameche played the role, I believe, in a famous movie. He was born on the 3rd.
Are you going to talk about Alexander Graham Bell?
No, I'm not going to talk about
him. You don't like him? He was born on the 3rd, 1847.
Yeah, well, see, you're rushing the because Sam Houston, the father of Texas independence, the great general, wonderful battlefield commander, had been a lieutenant under Jackson, but Houston had a great sympathy for the Indians. He broke with Jackson somewhat over the treatment of the Cherokee, that is, moving them on the so-called Trail of Tears west. Some people called him, you know, the Black Raven. The Indians he knew called him Big Drunk, because Houston hardly drew a sober breath from one year to the next.
Aha.
And yet, drunk or sober, there is a greatness in Sam Houston that puts him among the great heroes of American history.
I'm in that league, you know.
Yeah, I heard that.
For at least the first part of
Sam. That's what you've been telling me.
Now, Sam Houston, did he die at the Alamo?
No, because he wasn't there. That is, he was commander of the armies of the Texas Republic. And so, and the Battle of San Jacinto was coming up. He cleverly lured the Mexican army, which was officered by European professionals. This wasn't some easy walkover.
Huh.
The betting in Europe was that the Mexicans were going to defeat the Texans, and then walk all over America. It did not turn out that way.
Not in my house. Not once. Okay, in 1888, a young man was born to coach football. Give him the old Newt Rockne on the 4th. How about Newt Rockne?
In America, pop culture rules, so that the Newt Rockne story with what Illinois actor playing Frank Gipp?
Ronald Reagan?
Yes.
Ha! Nailed it. How about it?
Yes, win one for the Gipper. He's lying there in the hospital bed. The 3rd of March should be marked in black because it is the birthday of William Godwin, one of the most pernicious intellectual influences in the Anglo-American tradition.
Huh.
Godwin was a philosopher, and a lot of the worst and foolish ideas of what we came to call liberalism, that is, individualism, self-assertion, I don't need no stinking tradition, my wife and I, we can shack up, we don't need a license.
Wow.
And he was a feminist. He was the father, of course, of Mary Godwin, who married Percy Shelley and wrote Frankenstein.
Oh.
Godwin's book, Political Justice, is now not much studied, and I think it's because it really shows you the hollowness and stupidity of what left liberalism turned into.
Hmm.
He was also an extremely good novelist. He wrote one great novel, which Edgar Allan Poe said he was one of the most extraordinary books of the time. And it's true. It's a novel about himself. It's one of those strange sort of self-portrait novels which succeeds in spite of the vanity and silliness of the author.
I see. Now, My Fair Lady, and what a name this guy, an iconic name, a name that rises above a lot of other names. It is indeed Rex Harrison on the 5th.
Of course, he was a stage actor as well as a film actor. I think the one film I really like him in is Unfaithfully Yours, which is one of the last movies made by Preston Sturges, who is certainly among the three or four best comic film producers in the United States. People I know who know Rex Harrison, and I won't cite their names, really couldn't stand
him.
So I don't know if
he was such a gentleman.
I don't know if their hatred was true. I did correspond briefly with his son, who was a college English professor and a very good essayist. What date was Rex Harrison?
Rex Harrison was the 5th of March.
Okay, you're running ahead of me again.
Oh, well, it's
because
my nature.
On the 4th of March, Antonio Vivaldi, one of the greatest composers of all
time. Yeah, I know that name.
Most people are familiar mostly with the 4 violin concerti known as the Seasons, but Vivaldi wrote as many as 50 to 80 operas. He wrote oratorios. He wrote wrote lots and lots and lots of chamber music. It is interesting that he is one of the composers that Bach ripped off the most. By
really?
Rip off, I mean, you know, when you're writing at the volume that Bach did, he borrowed from the most talented and brilliant people he could.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it all ends up being Bach, not somebody else. But Vivaldi, if you throw away your record of the Four Seasons and start listening to, which is it was very beautiful music, but when you've heard it 8,000 times, it's time to listen to the rest of him. I developed a hatred of Vivaldi in college because there were three or four things you always heard. Since then, I've come to a much better appreciation. So that's the fourth.
The fourth.
On the fifth, it's like I'll have a fifth on the fourth.
Hey!
One of the oldest jokes in the world.
Right.
Henry II of England is one of the great kings. I'm not saying he's a good, nice person or even a good person, but he's one of the greatest kings in English history. His mother, Matilda, was called the Empress Matilda because she married the Holy Roman Emperor, and she was the daughter of Henry I, who was the youngest son of William the Conqueror.
Okay.
So Henry I was the third king. Then there was this constant war between Matilda, who claimed the throne, and Stephen of Blois, who had been elected by the Norman nobility in England to be king.
Hmm.
They both had about an equal claim, except King Henry had preferred his own daughter. Henry II fought successfully against Stephen and basically fought him to a standstill, and then Stephen adopted him as his heir. And Henry II really finalized the Norman Revolution. He imposed the king's law throughout the Kingdom of England. Of course, he also had extensive territories in France. His father, Geoffrey of Anjou, was a very powerful magnate, had about as much territory as the King of France.
Anjou.
A very, very powerful ruler. And of course, he's most famous for his clash with the English Church, the primate of England, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Thomas Becket, who stood up to him. And
he was a primate?
Well, primate means number one churchman.
Oh, right. I got to confuse
So that. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury. And, of course, there's the famous movie about this, Becket, based on, I think, a play by Jean Anouilh. There's much to be said in his favor. He married one of the most horrifying women in history, Eleanor of Aquitaine. And, of course, through her, controlled more of France by controlling Aquitaine, Anjou, parts of Normandy.
Mm-hmm.
He had more French territory than the King of France.
Wow.
Very powerful man. Of course, he learned that this was not the age in which to stand up to the Holy Catholic Church.
It doesn't work out very well.
One of the first things they did, you know, during the religious revolution, the Protestant revolt, as it's properly termed under Henry VIII, is they destroyed the shrine of St. Thomas of Canterbury. Yeah, they destroyed it. You know something is an evil revolution when they run around destroying the shrines and holy places. I don't care whether it's Confederate monuments or Union monuments. History took place. We have ancestors that lived and died and fought for sometimes lofty principles.
Yes.
Destroying their statues is evil.
Respect the past and its icons no matter what. You may not like them, but they're there maybe to teach you something that you didn't know.
So that was Henry II on the 5th.
Right. Now, you could tell me a little bit about this guy's work, probably. I'd like to know more about it. The 16th, it wasn't the 15th and it wasn't the 17th. I was pretty sure it was the 16th chapel. It's a big church. He painted on the ceiling. You know, where the guy's hands come together. It's God and man. They touch fingers.
Michelangelo Buonarroti.
Is Michelangelo his first name or his last name?
His first name.
Oh, so he was like Madonna or something, because everybody just called him Michelangelo.
Well,
maybe he started
First
that.
Of all, you know, a lot of artists in those days didn't belong to families distinguished enough to have a last name. So, for example, we talk about Leonardo da Vinci as if Vinci, or they'll say Da Vinci. Da Vinci just means, hey, from that crummy little burg Vinci up in the mountains north of Florence. So he's just Leonardo. That was his only name. They sometimes had some crummy little family name. The Buonarroti were a better established family, and that's why he has a real name.
A real last name.
He was a poet, a sculptor, a painter, an architect.
Wow.
He is often regarded as one of the two or three great geniuses of the Renaissance.
Mm.
I have to say he is not to my taste. I admire him.
Oh.
His bigger-than-life brawny statues I find almost like propagandistic totalitarian art that you might see advertising Hitler or Stalin. There's absolutely no challenging his genius or ability. By the way, Rex, you're not entirely wrong. It is the Sistine Chapel. Sistine.
S-I-S-T-I-N-E. Oh!
It's the Cappella Sistina. But the truth is, here's where you almost are justified. The Pope's name, Sistus, often the names are found in the form Sixtus. So I'm sure somewhere somebody has called it the Sistine Chapel.
Oh, another guy that was born on the 6th in 1906 had a good buddy. His name was Lou Costello, and I always thought he was hilarious.
Yeah, my father couldn't stand Abbott and Costello, so he wouldn't let us see the movies. I think Lou Costello was pretty funny. I think their reputation has not been well served by seeing YouTube clips over and over and over of the Who's On First, which they did many variations on. And it's quite a brilliant piece of comedy. And they were very funny. I saw them very much in my childhood. They'd come on TV or in the movies. It's a little bit broad humor. But,
right. It's slapstick and it's very physical.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But I mean, the two were good together. Great straight man, great funny guy. Always good.
Yeah,
bad boy.
They didn't always get along very well, and that's also often the mark of a great comedy team. And Bud Abbott could deliver these lines, these straight lines, very, very fast and very rapid. The 6th is also the birthday of a legendary figure in American music, Bob Wills. What can you tell me about the great Bob Wills, Rex?
He played music.
Well, that's a good place to start. He had a band.
I have no idea.
It was called the Texas Playboys.
Okay, now that's...
Bob Wills of the Texas Playboys. The singer was usually a man named Tommy Duncan. They had such great hits as Faded Love. When I read the letter that you sent to me, it's you that I am dreaming of.
Wow.
They were the heart and soul of what is called Texas Swing, which is a kind of... a merger between Southwestern music and country music on the one hand and big band music on the other.
Yeah.
You see it, if you ever see a Gene Autry movie, that's Texas Swing.
Ah. Does that go along with yodeling?
Not much, but some of the, of course, Texas Germans and Swiss did a lot of yodeling.
Yeah.
Bob Wills was not an easy person to get along. He was drunk much of the time and abused his musicians. And he had this irritating way of interrupting his musicians and his singer, Tommy Duncan.
What do you mean by that? Is that annoying?
Well, no.
No, really, tell me.
Yeah, you're annoying even without doing that. But you'd be singing along, like, as I read the letter. Sing it, Tommy.
Oh, I see.
On and on and on. And, you know, just once I'd like to see a clip where Tommy Duncan just sort of, shut up, Bob.
I'm trying to sing here.
Clipped him right across the mouth.
Yeah, I've heard of that
before. I cannot recommend Bob Wills highly enough as a great creative force in American popular music, and this stuff is very listenable today.
Oh, yay. Come in, darling. Let's hear you sing.
Well, Rob Roy McGregor.
Yeah, sure.
Rob Roy McGregor was, sort of shirt-tail representative of the McGregor clan that were outlawed, both for their politics and their thieving. And so he became...
Same thing, isn't it?
Well, that is, they were mostly on the side of the exiled Stuart family, who were the legitimate rulers of England and Scotland.
Oh.
He came to the support, but usually with a, sort of a guerrilla warfare in various operations. Legend after legend was told about him as a kind of latter-day Robin Hood. This is in the 1700s.
Right.
One of Walter Scott's most entertaining novels is Rob Roy, a book very much worth reading.
Yeah, I saw that. That was on TV. I saw the movie, Rob Roy,
Yeah. Well, sort of crummy movie with Liam Neeson. Some horrible girl, but I forget who he is.
Jessica Lange.
Okay. Oh. Also on the same day, a somewhat more distinguished and noble character, the Emperor Marcus Aurelius.
Hey, I love Marcus Aurelius.
The great philosopher emperor. You know, Plato had once said that the world would not be well governed until a philosopher became a king or a king was a philosopher. And here we had, in fact, somebody who spent his life studying on the one hand and writing, as we have these little memoranda of his, the meditations.
The tranquility that comes when you stop caring about what they say, or think, or do. Only what you do. Not to be distracted by their darkness. To run straight for the finish line unswerving.
Also, he spent much of the life in the saddle, keeping your German ancestors, etc., out of the civilized world, which is where they belong.
Out. Now, did he give Christians a lot of hassle?
Recalcitrant Christians were put to death in certain places in his reign.
Oh, boy.
He thought they were recalcitrant.
I don't know what that is.
Meaning, you have an 8-year-old kid, you say, I told you not to play with matches, didn't I? Yes. Well, you played with matches and you burned down the family home.
Uh-huh.
You just won't listen, will you?
Right.
Because they wouldn't listen to their betters. Because somebody like Marcus Aurelius, he had no faith in traditional Roman pieties. He was a philosopher.
Right.
He believed there was one God in the universe, that God looked down on us and wanted us to lead virtuous lives. When Justin Martyr, the first quasi-philosopher that Christianity produced, Justin's famous apology was addressed to Marcus Aurelius and another of his relatives, because knowing that you are a student of philosophy, you philosophers try to lead perfect lives, but we simple Christians, without studying philosophy, we lead the lives you dream of leading.
Wow.
It's very powerful, and Justin used Greek philosophy in order to make his arguments, and it showed you the direction in which Christianity was headed that early on. That is, it was beginning to absorb the best elements in pagan literature and philosophy.
Absorb, okay. I'm not so
absorb
sure.
Absorb and transmit. Because, look, without logic and without precise thinking, any kind of lunacy can be introduced and sold as snake oil to the suckers out there watching megachurch TV on Sunday morning instead of actually going to church. And by the way, where did you go to church this past Sunday?
This last Sunday, this other gentleman that we're going to be speaking of right now, here, give a listen to this.
Take the last train to Clarksville and I'll meet you at the station. You can be here by 4:30 because I've made your reservation. Don't
remember that guy? His name is Mickey
Dolenz.
Yes.
Circus boy.
What?
When I was a child, he was on TV on a Saturday morning show, Circus Boy, which he, this little kid working for the circus.
8th of March, 1945, Mickey Dolenz, and most widely known for the drummer of the Monkees, and a pretty good singer. And there's a lot of controversy surrounding the Monkees because it was said that they really didn't play their instruments. They were more actors than they were, and some people would even argue that, than they were musicians. But they worked hard, practiced, got themselves together, and actually did a concert tour, which put everybody to shame.
They studied hard.
Yes, they did.
They worked at it. People often say, and it's not quite true, that Michael Nesmith was already a musician, but I don't think so.
I think he was
into it.
Yeah,
maybe
messing around with guitar and doing some things. Later on, he did some really kind of cool musical things, but
He was ashamed of his Monkees background, which is sort of stupid. It would be like Mickey Spillane being ashamed of having created Mike Hammer.
Right.
You know, something has given you everything you've got in a material sense in life, then you might as well relax. When the monkeys did, don't ask me how I remember this. When the monkeys did they got together like 20 years later and did a revival tour. Mike Nesmith wouldn't join them, and so they would bring out a cardboard cutout doll of Nesmith standing there with his stupid stocking cap on.
Right.
I watched the monkeys. I had a young friend named Terry Young. He was 1 year younger than I was. I was about 18. Terry was about 17. He loved the monkeys, so he persuaded me. And my father came in one day as I was watching the monkeys. I mean, I was home from college for vacation.
Lovely.
And it was pretty embarrassing moment.
Yeah, I can about imagine. Now, I watched the monkeys. I thought it was hilarious. Slapstick comedy, fun musical. They got a cool car. I mean,
yeah, it was all based on the first Beatles movie.
There you go.
It was Richard Lester who directed the two Beatles movies. Also, on the same day, I believe we are dealing with the eighth.
Yes.
Kenneth Graham, one of the most beloved writers in the English and American literature, famous for one book, although he wrote other things, The Wind in the Willows.
Oh, right.
An amazingly beautiful... I stayed away from The Wind in the Willows when I was a child because I thought it had to be sort of maudlin and sentimental, and it's really not. It's quite funny. Mr. Toad's eccentricities with his motor car and then the war with the stoats and the weasels, all of that. And is it Badger who says they're going to go in and they're going to grab Toad Hall back and teach the weasels a lesson? He says, and I'll learn them. Surely, Badger, you mean teach them? No, I don't want to teach them. I want to learn them. Jeez. It's a very funny book. And by the way, his book Dream Days is quite a nice book about his own childhood. So Kenneth Graham, always worth reading. Frankly, in my view, not many children's writers are worth reading. I would say 99 of them out of 100 are about on par with bodice-ripping romance novelists.
On the 9th, this guy you're going to tell me about, 1934, he was born, Yuri Garrigan.
Gagarin.
Oh, yeah, right.
Garrigan would make him an Irishman.
Oh, that's no good. He was Russian.
Yes, he was a Russian.
Out of this world, this guy.
He was their great cosmonaut. They set him up in space. If you talk to Russians and people in Eastern Europe, he was a very great hero. Mm-hmm. See, our guys were largely set up through amazing technology, and some of them, like John Glenn, were real showboaters. Gagarin was apparently very heroic, and their technology was nowhere near up to ours, so it required somebody who really knew what he was doing.
A lot of skill.
After he came down, he began to be a critic of the Soviet regime, especially how they handled the military, the mistreatment of soldiers. And he died mysteriously. And most people believe he was murdered by the regime.
Super not cool.
Now, speaking of Yuri Gagarin, and of course at the height, we didn't like him in America when I was growing up because he was a Ruski, and therefore he was a Red, which he probably, by the way, was.
Did you say Bruski?
Ruski.
Oh, because I could go for one about now.
Schmitz, one beautiful beer. Schmitz, you're beautiful.
Well, it's not cold. He was a Russian, and we were supposed to hate the Russians, and the Russians were supposed to hate us.
Right.
But on this day, on the 9th, in 1454, was born the first great American. In 1454, what was his name?
First great American?
Amerigo Vespucci.
Daniel Boone?
Amerigo Vespucci
was a
Florentine merchant and explorer.
Yes.
And depending on whose version you believe, he made 1, 2, 3, or 4 trips to the New World. The argument is that he may have landed in South America on terra firma before Columbus.
Oh.
And so a German mapmaker in Lorraine made a map in which he said, we might as well call this new land Amerigae or America, after this great explorer.
Right.
Later on, of course, the people of Genoa, who hated Florence, were upset that the New World should be named after somebody from Florence. And of course, they began to say he never came to the New World. It's all a lie. His letters are forgeries. Maybe some of the letters are forgeries. Nobody now doubts that he made at least 2 trips to the New World. And
are you telling me that America is named after this guy?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's where we get the word America, because it's the Latinized form of Amerigo. And Amerigo is still...
United States of Amerigo?
Amerigo, Amerigo, God shed his grace on thee.
On the 10th, there's an infamous gentleman, and I would like to know a little bit more about him, too. He was born in 1928, and his name is James Earl Ray, and he assassinated MLK.
Maybe. Maybe. This is very bizarre. I think there's no doubt that James Earl Ray was hired to assassinate Martin Luther King. And Ray, in later years in prison, said that he wasn't the one. The FBI had planted a gun, he claimed, and then identified it as the murder weapon. But the ballistic tests at that time weren't good enough. Later on, I am told, I don't know if this is true or not, I am told that the ballistic test showed that it wasn't the gun.
No.
But Ray thought it was funny because he knew that the FBI had planted it on him. Now, where do I get this weird?
Yeah.
I used to be a pretty good friend of James Earl Ray's lawyer that he had in prison.
Really?
And by the way, among the people who believed that James Earl Ray's story was worth investigating were the King family. They didn't think the whole story was being told either. Now, whether it was just because they wanted to keep the thing going, it was a big white conspiracy or whatever, whatever it was, Ray always said he had been set up. He was willing to do that. He doesn't deny that at all.
Okay.
But he said that there were several shooters and he doesn't believe that it was his bullet.
A beyond the grassy knoll kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Also, on the 10th, one of the great film directors in American history, somebody no longer much appreciated, but very much appreciated by our regular reader and colleague and friend, Ray Olson, in St. Paul, Minnesota, namely Gregory LaCava. Gregory LaCava started out in silence. He did dozens and dozens of film, many of them very funny. He made one absolutely perfect masterpiece, Our Man Godfrey. With William Powell in one of his finest roles, Carol Lombard, Gail Patrick, masterful comedy with actually a fairly amount of...
I love that movie.
Good sense to it. But several of his other movies, like Stage Door and things, they're extremely funny. A lot of crosstalk, a lot of witty dialogue.
Yeah.
Very good film director.
Come here, my man. Do you like your place here? I mean, so far as you've gone?
I find it very entertaining.
Oh, yes, we are a very entertaining family. You really think you're going to like it here?
Well, I must admit it's more desirable than living in a packing case on a city dump.
Oh, that's where I met you, isn't it?
Yes, miss.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember now. We were playing some sort of a game. A scavenger hunt, I think they called it. We needed a forgotten man. I asked you to go to the Waldorf Ritz Hotel with me and... I'm a little bit hazy as to just what happened after that.
I pushed you into an ash pile.
Oh, yes, of course you did. It was very amusing. They were nice, clean ashes.
I'm very sorry, miss.
Oh, I didn't mind at all. It was very amusing. Have you a handkerchief? There's a spot on my shoe. Would you see what you can do about it? I could have you fired, you know, but I like to see things wriggle. When I get through with you, you'll go back to your packing case on the city dump and relish it. People don't make a practice of pushing Cornelia Bullock into ash piles. I'll make your life so mid... I heard what you said to Godfrey.
So what?
So what? You leave him alone.
So who's going to make me leave him alone?
If you don't, you'll get a good sock from me.
Oh, the physical type.
What I say goes.